I'm Greg Hunter. Welcome to USAWatchdog.com. My next guest is sort of a regular. I had him on a couple times a year. Very interesting guy. He's worked in the banking industry for a couple of decades. He vaults gold on at least two continents in super secret, like James Bond vaults. One of them is in Switzerland. I'm talking about Egon von Greyers. He is in Switzerland, and he is with the Matterhorn Asset Management. The website is goldswitzerland.com. goldswitzerland.com. Egon von Greyers, EVG. How you doing?
I'm all right. Was lucky, especially at my age. I'm in the vulnerable category, like your president. I haven't had any of his medicines and shots, so luckily I've kept away from COVID so far. So we're fine, and the world is not fine. The gold market is good, but the world as a whole is in a mess, and it's going to get worse. Greg, a lot worse.
Well, here's what you said to me years ago, and I have repeated this probably at least 100 times to friends and people who are buying gold. And I said, you know, Egon von Greyers is a real guy. He's a guy that vaults gold, worked in the banking industry, not just a gold guy. He was a finance guy. And, you know, he said that when gold was 1045, I said, what do you think about the low price of gold? It was about 2015. It was down to 1045. And it had been up at $1,900 an ounce. And you said, well, listen, the people that I have vaulting gold here, we're not too upset when it goes down to 1045. And we're not all that happy when it goes up to 1900, which is now 19 and change. And we're not all that happy when it goes up to 1900. We know how this ends. Are we starting to see how this is ending?
It's the end is far away, Greg, far, far away. We're just seeing the beginning of the end. You know, we are fortunate that we have the clients that listen to what we're saying. And that is they're holding gold for the right reason. They're not going in and out. They're not speculating. They're holding gold for wealth preservation purposes. And since gold today is really the sole investment, I would say, that protects you from what is coming in the world, the collapse of the financial system and the collapse of the currency system. You know, and we've seen that's been a continuous trend for at least since 1971. And historically, it's happened for thousands of years, of course. But this in this last phase, it's in 71 when Nixon took the decision to take away the gold backing. You know, the Chinese saw it already then. This is the beginning of the end of the currency system and the beginning of the end of the U.S. empire and its prop, the dollar. This is what China said officially in 1971. Now, it has taken 50 years, but that's nothing for China. China's playing the long game. They're not in a hurry. They were never intending to attack the U.S. Militarily or financially or politically. They don't need to. They knew that the U.S. was going to self-destruct. And they knew in 1971 that this was the start of it. And look what has happened since. The dollar is down 98% since then, measured against real money, against gold. So, you know, we've talked about this so many times, but it's so obvious that, you know, that 98% is going to go to 100%. It's not only the dollar is going down, it's all the currencies, but the dollar will lead the race to the bottom, as we talked about many times. And so we have the remaining 2% to go. And now we're in that final phase when that 2%, which is, remember, 2% is 100% from here. So we're going to see that final destruction of the dollar and most of the other currencies also. And, you know, coming back to gold then, why do people keep their assets and measure their assets in a totally depreciating currency like the dollar or the euro or other currency? I mean, it's just ridiculous. Here we can measure it on a daily basis against gold. So, sure, gold doesn't go up or in a straight line, or the dollar doesn't go down against gold in a straight line. Obviously, you have corrections. You know, we have been in for wealth protection purposes into gold in a major way since 2002 at $300. And during that time, we've seen many corrections. I have not worried one day about our position, whether we corrected, as you said, from 1920 down to a bit over 1,000. You know, the central banks are supporting us on a daily basis here. by their idiotic policies because they have no other means of solving this debt problem. And of course, they're not solving it. They're exacerbating it by just printing more and more. So the central banks are our friends. They are destroying their currencies and therefore making gold more valuable, or at least, if you want to look at it the other way, maintaining its purchasing power against totally debasing currencies. So it's the easiest investment game, if you want. It's not an investment game for us. It's wealth protection, as I said. But it's such an easy strategy. So, and you don't ever have to worry about gold not going up because central banks will see to that. That's why we're in it, and that's why we're helping investors around the world to buy physical gold.
Where are we in this in the final depreciation of the last 2%? As you said, you know, you're going to go 100% from here. I mean, are we going to where are we? I know you've written some articles about how it's pretty clear now where this is going. I don't think we're going to retest the lows, that we've had in 2015. That when you said we're not all that upset at 1045, we're not all that happy at 1900. I mean, you know. So where are we in the arc of this, you know, complete debasement?
Well, where we are now, I think, you know, you've seen this year, you've seen the incredible money creation around the world by central banks and the massive debt increases. And you're looking at, you know, you're looking at M1, for example, which has been going up, you know, the money supply, US money supply, which has been going up, you know, for 50 years. But now, and of course, in this century, it's gone up a lot faster. Now it's going up in a straight line. So we are now entering the exponential phase of this financial system where, you know, we're seeing unlimited money printing, helicopter money, like Bernanke called it. And then we are going to see accelerated debasement of the currencies. So the real moves haven't started yet. You know, we've been going sideways since, 2013, let's say, around just under the 1300 level. And now we broke through that over a year ago. And now we're accelerating. It won't be a straight line. There will be corrections still. But, you know, the corrections will be very small. And we need corrections. Otherwise, a sound market always has corrections. Nevertheless, we are now starting the acceleration phase. Greg, no one knows where this is going to lead to. It depends on how much money is going to be printed. You know, the worst case scenario is not just covering all the debts of all the banks in the world. It's also covering a total blowout of the whole derivatives industry, which is at least $1.5 quadrillion, maybe $2 quadrillion. And of course, if they're going to print to the extent of all of that $2 quadrillion, we know that, you know, gold in nominal terms, which is irrelevant for a gold investor because we're talking about purchasing power, but it's relevant for all the people, which is the majority of people who are keeping the money within the financial system and in dollars or in euros or in pounds, because they are going to see all of that fall of their currencies. But for a gold investor, all he will do, he will be happy if he keeps the purchasing power. But I think the next phase of the gold move and the collapse of the currencies will mean that gold will go higher than just reflecting purchasing power when the currencies collapse. So whether that move is going to be, I forecast already, which is an arbitrary, you could say, you can calculate it by various means. So that in 2002, I said we will at least reach 10,000 in today's money. I think we're going to go higher than that now. And in inflationary money, of course, you know, pick a figure, because that depends totally on how much money will be printed. Whether that will be 100 billion, 100 trillion, it's irrelevant, because those figures don't mean anything. But what it does mean is that the currencies are now going to finish the race to the bottom. And in my view, as I said before, I think the dollar will lead that race and be the winner. But, you know, there's no prize for winning a race to the bottom, obviously.
You have you told me that you have people that have $1 billion and they have at least 20% in gold, which is, you know, $200 million. I said, you mean to tell me you have You have people that have $200 million in gold and they're worth $1 billion. Oh yeah. Some people 50%. Has that changed at all, that mentality, or has it gotten even more bearish and more pro holding of gold?
This year, there's been a major inflow, Greg. Obviously, especially in the spring, when you talk about March, April, May, June, a massive inflow of big amounts of gold. Still, only mainly high net worth individuals, family offices, ultra high net worth individuals. The institutions are not yet entering this market. But this is, I've always said that the institutions are going to come into the gold market, and they are because they need to, because we are, whatever the Fed and the other banks say, that inflation is going to be at 2% or just above 2%, we will tolerate that. That's nonsense. The bond market is going to collapse, and interest rates are going to go a lot higher, and inflation is going to go a lot higher, and we will have inflation. And eventually, as the currency collapses, because there's a collapsing currency that leads to inflation and hyperinflation. When the currency falls, we are going to see hyperinflation. So the next group of investors that's going to come into this are the institutional investors. We've already seen signs of that. We saw Buffett buying Barrick Gold just for $600 million, which is nothing for him. Nevertheless, it was an important sign for somebody who's always hated gold and never understood gold. And then the next sign we saw was from the Ohio Police Pension Fund, that are talking about now putting five. They haven't done it yet, I think. I don't know, but they're putting 5% of their assets into gold. And their assets, I think, are about 500, no, 800, 800, no, well, 80 billion, I think 80 billion.
80
So,
billion or 80 million?
no, 80 billion they're talking about. They're talking about the total investment into gold is, so I think 5%, that would be 400 million. Of 80 billion, if my figures are correct. I might not, I might actually be, it might be slightly less. They might be 16 billion, excuse me. So there you're talking about 800 million into gold, let's say. Hey, that's 5% of their assets, 800 million. 5% of their assets. 5% is a very high figure. If we, let's say that if all pension funds to inflation protect their assets put 1% into gold. World financial assets are about 500 billion. 1% would be 5 billion, Greg. 5 billion, that is two times all the investment gold available in the world today. And that's, of course, not available because that's already invested. So if everybody put 1% to inflation protect their portfolio, every pension fund, then, as I said, it would be 2.5 times the investment gold available today. So even if they put half a percent would be 2.5 trillion. 2.5 trillion is all the investment gold there is. So what I'm saying is there is no chance for these institutions to get into this market and get the amount of gold that they need to even at a half a percent level. And the only way they can get that is by investing, let's say, $1 billion, but not getting gold at $1,900, but at $19,000, because gold, there's not going to be more gold available. The only way that they can achieve a higher amount invested is for the price to go up. And that's what's going to happen. The price will increase dramatically. And that institutional demand will be a very important factor, in my view, within the gold market in the next few years.
Well, there's only $2.5 trillion of gold at $1,900 an ounce for people to invest in right now.
There is only the total amount of investment gold in the world is $2.5 trillion.
Wow.
That's just over 40,000 tons of gold. That's all. Then the rest is either central bank gold or jewelry or industrial use, etc. So that there is, that's all there is. 40,000 tons out of a total of just under 200,000 tons of gold in the world. So investment gold is only 40,000 tons, and that's $2.5 trillion. So there's nothing, absolutely nothing. And when these institutions, so some of them will buy, of course, they will buy ETFs, but ETFs also have to buy gold if they're not cheating and only buy paper gold, which many of them are. Some of them will buy real gold. There, you know, that gold market is so small, and when these institutions realize that their trustees will demand that the inflation hedge their portfolio as we see inflation increasing, and gold is just, you know, gold and other commodities is virtually the only way to do it, and those are very small markets. So this is why we will see obviously a boom in precious metals, gold, silver, which is even a much smaller market, and then in other commodities also. But I mean, from a wealth preservation point of view, it's gold that you want to hold, of course.
And you noticed a big increase in people calling up Matterhorn Asset Management and, you know, your website, of course, goldswitzerland.com. You're in Switzerland. I think you're also in Singapore or over in Asia as well with a big vault. Is that right?
That's correct. But our biggest vault is in the Swiss Alps, which is the biggest gold vault in the world, deep in the Swiss Alps.
And you've had people call you up, a noticeable, massive increase of, we'd like to use your vault to vault gold.
Correct. Or our services more than our, because obviously we advise them and we buy for them, et cetera, and all of that. But you know, and some people also ship the gold from wherever it is now, because some of them have it, let's say in the US or in Australia, whatever. So yes, we have seen a major increase in people wanting to invest in gold in this year. And I think that's the beginning. All right, so we saw a major demand from March to June, let's say, a little bit calmer now, but still at a high level. And you know, there's only a matter of time before the next move in gold starts and the next problems within financial markets, whether the catalyst will be the election or whatever it will be. It doesn't matter. The move is going to take place in any way. And then we will see another massive wave or at a high level coming into gold.
The math that you're laying out is just, you just can't deny the math. Here's how much is available. The demand is increasing. We're seeing that. And you're at the front line, the tip of the spear, you know, wealthy people getting afraid. Why are they, are wealthy people afraid? Are they afraid of what they see when you see this money printing in almost all currencies, because gold's hit new all-time highs in all currencies? Are rich people afraid of all the massive money printing? Is that, they're seeing this, right?
You know, there are different categories of people. There are many of our investors are actually afraid. They are seeing it, they're getting it. They understand what's happening and they are worried, not just about destruction of paper money, but also of the financial system, as well as of social structures and you know, our political problems. So our clients are seeing that, and our clients are typical wealth preservation clients. Now, that there is another category of wealthy people that have not got to that stage yet. They're not worried and they've made enough money in other areas. So they're not investors in a big way in gold. And you know, I speak to a lot of family offices. Most of them don't have gold yet. So the interesting thing is, you know, as I said, it's only 0.5% of financial assets in gold. Nobody owns gold. So we see a few wealthy people compared to the rest of the market that have gold and hold it on, or buy gold and hold it outside the banking system. But in general terms, nobody owns gold. And you can imagine what happens, as I said, even if it was only 0.5%, that it's not going to be enough gold. So therefore, they can only get their demand satisfied by a higher price, because there ain't no more gold available in the world.
I'm sorry, writing that down. Some of your people are afraid, not just the destruction of paper money. I mean, they see what's going on in America and these marches and this. I mean, I don't know how Portland's ever going to come back. They're knocking down New York again. One story I saw, 90% of the office space isn't filled back up yet. 90%, they're not using it. You know, Minneapolis is defunding the police. They burned down the core of the city. Chicago is every weekend, as last weekend, another, I don't know, 30, 40 people got shot. Of course, those lives don't matter. Are they afraid of the actual social breakdown? Can you make some comments about that? You've said this before. I mean, and I know you don't want to be really doomy and gloomy, but you're a big thinking guy. Are you worried about the actual breakdown of society? In other words, we just got a stab and shoot fest in the streets coming when the thing falls apart.
Greg, I've been worried about this for as long as I've been talking and writing about gold. So that's more than 20 years. But, you know, we've been into, you know, in a major way into gold for almost 20 years. But already in the 90s, I was worried about this. So, and I've been writing about social unrest and breakdown of society and riots and even civil war, etc. And, you know, I hate writing about it because, you know, everybody or the majority of people, the ones who are not interested in gold, which is, you know, the 99.5%, they think that you're just scaremongering they don't want to hear this. More people now are worried. So it's actually, people are starting to understand it. But, you know, it's very clear to me that society, you know, you have the haves and the have-nots, and the haves just have too much money, and the have-nots are getting less and less money. And then you have the racial problem and the immigration problem, etc., depending on the country. You add to that. And, of course, once people don't have any money, the social security is going to break down, there won't be social security. And if there is, that's going to be worthless money. And, you know, once you get empty stomachs and people who don't get enough food, is going to exacerbate the social problems and therefore the protests and the fighting. And of course, they are going to turn against, especially the top 1% or the top half a percent that own most of the assets in the world, and especially in the U.S., that's what revolutions come from. You know, when there are a few privileged people, and the masses are underprivileged or have no money, and when they don't even have any food, the consequences will be dire, and I don't like talking about it. But people have to be aware that the risk is greater than it has been. It's dangerous to say ever in history, but I would say because you never had a situation in history when basically every country in the world is in the same position. You know, you've had individual countries that have had problems and economic collapse and hyperinflation, etc. But you never had a situation where the whole world has an insoluble debt problem that is now about to collapse. That's never happened in history. And that's why it's going to be on a much bigger scale than before. And please, please, you know, again, I want to stress, I'm not a prophet of doom and gloom. I'm just someone who analyzes risk and say that it's inevitable that this has to happen. It's not a question of when. It's going to happen. It's just a question of how long does it take. That's all. And therefore, people, you know, should think about it. And the ones who can, and very few can, because the masses can't protect themselves, but the very few who can at least should do what they can to protect themselves. And then, of course, if you are privileged, and if you get to the situation I'm talking about, you've got to help your fellow man. You've got to help your family, your friends, whoever you can, because, you know, obviously that's what life is all about, helping others. So it's not just sitting in your ivory towers and think that I'm all right, I've got some gold. No, the responsibility of people who have a bit more now is to help others, because, you know, that's what makes life worthwhile, you know. Helping other people, not looking after yourself and being totally egotistical and as I wrote in an article, gazing at your own navel and being smug about that, you know. That I think that's an important factor, because there are a lot of people who will need help in coming years. That's for certain.
One of the things you also said that stuck with me, you're the only person that's ever said this kind of stuff to me. The thing about the, we weren't all that upset when it went to 10:45, around then. We weren't all that happy when it went up to 1900. This is back in 2015. But another thing you said, this is another really good one. And when you grasp this idea, it's like the vastness of an idea, right? The risks are unknowable. You're like saying, because you talked about analyzing risk, right? That's just what a gold play is. It's the non-risk. It's I've got it. The derivatives can't take it away. It can't depreciate, like, unless they play games in the market. But you have it. The ounce of gold will always be an ounce of gold. A bond could be nothing, could be a piece of paper. But the risks are unknowable. Are the risks even more unknowable? What does that mean today?
Totally, absolutely. I wrote in one of my mottos. I wrote, embrace uncertainty, because from this second on, whatever is going to happen in the financial system, within your own life, to your health, etc., you don't know. You work on probabilities, but we're now at the point when probabilities are unlikely to work because we are in unprecedented times. This is going to be this is going to be something that most people are not prepared for, are not going to be able to even protect themselves, and therefore, in my view, this is the time to sit down and rethink your life for the ones who can afford it. But I've always said, gold is not just for the rich. Gold is not for the gold is not for the ones who have to spend tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions, or tens or hundreds of millions. Gold is for everyone. Everyone can buy, like, let's say, a gram of gold for $60. Virtually everyone can buy that once a month or whatever. And if you
Or buy a
take
silver
the
ounce.
take Yeah, or buy a silver ounce, exactly, for $25. Exactly. Silver is going to go up, at least in the initial phase, it's going to go up two or three times as fast as gold. And therefore, we talk about gold more because it's really for long-term wealth preservation. We think that it's more, it is the relevant asset to hold. But to have some silver is absolutely right, because silver is a lot more volatile, and that's why we're not recommending it. It goes up as fast as it goes down, and that's why a lot of people will be scared by holding silver. But nevertheless, you can buy, as you say, an ounce of silver. I mean, an ounce of silver today at $25 is incredibly cheap. In my view, silver is going to go at least to $600,
Wow.
Let's say, and because if you take gold going to at least 10,000, as I said, and the ratio going down to 30, so you're going to see $600, and therefore, therefore, hold some silver, buy a silver coin, as you say, or an ounce of silver, buy a gram of gold for $60. If the people in Venezuela had done that, and 5 years ago, 10 years ago, the people who've done that, even for the smallest amount, they would have saved their family and themselves in this current hyperinflation we've seen in Venezuela. And it's the same in all countries in a similar situation. So that's why I don't believe that gold is just for the rich, that we're just talking to the rich. We just, in our company, happen to help the people invest bigger amounts, but anyone could buy gold and silver, and save that for a rainy day. And I think they should. Sadly, governments, politicians, central banks, normal banks, they don't like gold because they don't make any money on gold, and therefore they rather sell investors a fund or take their money and pay them negative interest, or i.e. charge them interest. They'd rather do that than talk about gold. So most people who are actually in financial markets don't understand gold, and that's why it's so hard for normal, and journalists certainly don't understand it, or the media, and that's why it's so hard for ordinary people to even think about the fact that they need to own some gold. And I wish, I know your channel and what we do is not read by the masses. I wish we could reach the masses and tell them that, please, hold a little bit of gold. But one day, the media will wake up, but that's when gold is $10,000 or more, then they will talk about gold. And when gold is whatever it reaches, 100,000, 100 million or whatever, then of course everybody's going to talk about gold. And then at the very peak, you know, then everybody will talk about gold and tell people to invest in gold. But of course, gold is going to reach an ultimate peak. Of course it is. And whatever that is depends on, as I said, the amount of money printed. And of course, from that exaggerated peak, gold will come down. But I think gold is going to be revalued permanently. So I don't see gold, even if gold goes down, goes up, you know, very high, the correction will be relatively small relative to where we are today.
And at this point, silver, for poorer people, some people ask me, you know, I can't afford gold. And you talk about a gram, but you know, that's a little bit more of a math problem. Everybody can buy a Silver Eagle. Everybody can buy a Maple Leaf. Everybody can buy a Philharmonic. Yeah. Everybody can buy a round. And you're saying that it's so cheap that poorer people aren't really going to get hurt. Dollar cost averaging is, you know, an ounce or two of silver every month or every couple of weeks or whatever their pay cycle is, right? You're not going to, it's so cheap, you're saying that people aren't going to get really hurt at this level.
No, absolutely not. You should be careful with your words. I was going to say there's no chance that it'll be hurt. That'll be hurt. Of course, there are always risks. Whatever you buy in the world, the risk is always there. But I would say, you know, based on what I'm been saying about central banks, about the deficits that are accelerating and are going to grow a lot faster, you know, higher, exponentially higher, and the money printing, which will grow exponentially higher. Just remember, Greg, the U.S. has not had a proper budget surplus for 90 years, since 1930. Wow. There were two small ones in the 40s and two small ones in the 50s. The Clinton years were fake figures. They were not surpluses. They were deficits because the debt continued to go up, and it was just they were just fiddling the books and took from below the line to above the line. So, you know, here you have a country that has continuously for 90 years had a budget deficit. You know, what's your forecast? It's so easy. It's going to get worse because now, you know, you're getting into the crisis situation. That's why it's going to accelerate. You know, and therefore, yeah, silver, you say, buy an eagle, a silver eagle. You know, I said, if we reach 10,000 gold, I said, I meant if the ratio goes to 15, which is the historical average, and which is likely is going to happen. If the ratio goes to 15 and 10,000 gold, then you have 666 silver. You know, 666 times 15 is 10,000. And so that's what you're going to see. I'm quite convinced that that is the level that silver will reach. And that's not an exaggerated level at all. So, of course, if people just buy a Silver Eagle every now and then, you know, that's going to save them. So it's so easy, but I wish that the mass media would understand that and help people. But so far, it's not happening, and I think sadly it will happen too late. Not too late, but when prices are much, much, much higher.
$600 silver. I've heard other people say $600. They've come up with that number, $600, not 666, like you just did. That's a math problem. But $600 silver is. A lot of people, Bull Pony's come up with that, Cliff High has come up with that, you've come up with that. A lot of people think it's going to go, if you look back at what $50 silver was in 1980, it's about $600 today. People can't fathom that. They can't fathom that kind of inflation, but yet that's a math problem, $600 silver, right?
Yeah, sadly, people, all forecasts, people's thinking, et cetera, always works on extrapolation of current trends. But it doesn't even work on that, Greg, because if it did, everybody would have forecast much higher deficit. When Trump became president in 2016, you know, and the debt, he took over a debt of 20 trillion.
20 trillion.
And I said,
$20 trillion.
Yeah.
Actually, it was 40 trillion, but that's the covert side was another 21 trillion, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's another side. But the official federal debt, as people know it, was $20 trillion. And I wrote an article then saying it's going to be at least $28 trillion by the time January 2021, and it's going to be $40 trillion 4 years later. And that was just a simple extrapolation. Nobody thought that we were going to reach $28 trillion by January 2021. But you know, I was just saying that U.S. debt has doubled.
We're over $27 trillion right now.
Exactly. And when I said that, when the debt was $20 trillion, nobody believed it, of course.
I know.
But that was just a simple extrapolation of debt doubling every 8 years, which it has done since at least Reagan's time, on average. So, you know, and people don't even look at history. People, you know, it's always different now. But it is, and that's why nobody can believe these forecasts of gold and silver either, you know, because people like to just extrapolate a few percent every year, et cetera. That's not where we are now. We are not at the point now when it's just going to happen gradually. We are at the exponential point and at the super exponential point of money printing, of deficits, and of currency collapse. And that's why this will be reflected in precious metal prices.
Egon von Greers, thanks for coming on and sharing your thoughts and analysis and what's happening in your business, which is a big inflow of gold by wealthy people. And you're saying that's not going to be long that the pension funds are going to be following. They're going to be following the big players into gold. And there's just so little of it that a small percentage move by big money could drive it way higher than it is today and probably will. So
that's my view.
Yeah. Definitely. So I think that's fantastic. And thank you for putting up. And thank you for somebody like you to come on and say, listen, it's going to hit 600. Silver's going to be, it's already in inflation adjusted terms in 1980, silver was equal to $600 in buying power. I mean, think about 1980, exactly. You could have bought a fairly good beater car for $600, right? You can't do that now.
And gold is $20,000 in inflation adjusted terms, roughly.
Right now. Yeah, total 10 times higher. You sure?
Right now.
Sure. Egon von Greers, the company is Matterhorn Asset Management. The website, there is only one, goldswitzerland.com. Egon von Greers, thank you for joining us today on usawatchdog.com.
Greg, thanks. Always good to talk to you. Thanks very much.